there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Welcome to This League Uncut. In the world of 24-hour NBA news, you snooze, you lose. Chris Haynes, it's go time. Mark Stein, it's showtime. Boom shakalaka. This League Uncut is underway and on fire. This should be a good one.
Here we go, everyone. Welcome in at last to the first of this week's episodes of This League Uncut. Mark Stein, still in L.A. Chris Haynes, en route to Miami. We've had some travel challenges this week with both of us on the road covering different first-round matchups. We've had some technical snafus that we had to work through. We actually started recording the other day and had to abandon it because my hotel room was just not cooperating, but we've worked through it all. We are finally together again, and it's perfect timing now because last night Chris Haynes was in Boston to see the mighty Celtics, who everyone thought were going to absolutely roll through the short-headed Miami Heat. But oh no, Heat culture goes wild from three. 23 threes from the Heat. And Chris Haynes was there. What did it look like? What was it like to be in Boston last night?
Boston is always one, I would say, top three most rowdy crowds, environments in the league, especially in the playoffs. I love Boston Celtics fans. But I will say, you know, you can't tell an awful lot about a team's demeanor, especially how they're going to play, by just looking at a team before the game. But I saw the Miami Heat walk into the arena. They were laser focused. Like, there was just a seriousness about them that it just caught my attention right away. And again, I'm still not thinking like, damn, okay, they gonna come up here and put on a show, but it just caught my attention. Coach Spo, everybody, Pat Riley, they're walking, they're laser focused. And they came out and put together a game plan and a performance that many didn't expect. I did predict that they would win yesterday.
You did?
Game.
Where was that prediction registered?
I didn't predict it publicly.
Man.
Is that okay, Stein? Do I have to predict everything publicly? I did. Hold on. I did do it publicly, but it wasn't on any airwaves or on any podcast. But Stan Van Gundy can vouch, because before the game, Stan said he had Boston blowing them out. And I said, no, I think Miami's going to get this game. We're going to bring Stan on at some point. And he could vouch for me that I did say that Miami's
going to
get it.
I'm going to ask him because, listen, you don't have to publicly make your predictions. But if you're going to take a victory lap, you have to have made it somewhere.
Does it count when Stan knows about it? So that should officially count. They had the Garden quiet. And I'm not talking about Madison Square Garden. I'm talking about TD Garden. They had them quiet, especially the latter part of that fourth quarter. Miami was just making plays down the stretch. Tyler Hero was phenomenal. Bam Adebayo, he was hitting that mid-range jump shot with so much consistency. The three-point ball, like, they were flying on defense. They executed a game plan to perfection. So now off to Miami, where things really get interesting, Sty. Miami for games 3 and 4.
Well, look, I'm not going to take too much of a victory lap, but I do feel somewhat vindicated because I did, in print, I can send you the link if you need proof, I did say this series would go 6 games, and I think people thought I was a little crazy, but such is my respect for the Miami Heat. And you know what? It isn't even just about these last few years with 3 trips to the finals in a very short span. And last season, of course, we all remember Miami as an 8 seed looking so bad in the play-in. They lost to Atlanta. They barely squeaked past Chicago. And then they go on this magical run starting with the first round upset of Milwaukee. It's not even just because that is so fresh in the memory. I have lived in fear of the Miami Heat since 2006. When I watched them go down 2-0 in the finals, I was critical of that team all season. Dan Le Batard used to bring me on his radio show in those days, billing me as the Heat hater. I didn't like the construction of that team. I thought they overdid it by bringing in all the veteran stars. I never thought that group was going to flourish. And man, did they teach me a lesson. Down 2-0 in the 06 finals, they come back, beat Dallas 4 in a row. It was the first comeback from 2-0 down
Dwayne Wade
in the finals
off.
That we had seen since the 70s.
Yeah.
And ever since then, since 2006, I said, I am never writing off the Miami Heat again. So almost 20 years later, my respect for this franchise is still so strong that I said, even without Jimmy Butler, they're going to win at least 2 games in this series. And I'm sure they will be insulted even by that. Knowing the Heat, they probably think that they can win this series without Jimmy, even against the mighty Celtics.
It's funny that you say that, Stein, because I spoke to Bam right before the game. I didn't get to use this during the broadcast. But I asked him, I said, you guys are shorthanded. You're missing your best player, and you're missing your starting point guard, Terry Rozier. What makes y'all think that y'all could come in here in TD Garden and do what most people think can't be done? He said, my whole tenure with the Miami Heat, we've been doubted. And we've been to multiple NBA finals. He said, why would I think otherwise now that we can't do it? We've never been the favorites. So what he said, this is all we know. He said, so we're comfortable being in this position. And he said, I'm confident in my guys can come away with the win. I didn't get to use that. He said, they're comfortable in this position. I think about that. They're comfortable in this position.
You buy in that, though? You really think they are?
Yes. I mean, look what the results. Shoo. Multiple NBA Finals appearances over the last 3-4 years. Like, they're accustomed to this. Whether it's the coaching staff, whether it's up from Pat Riley on down, they get off of being discounted. Like, it motivates them. And some people can't function that way. But for some reason, this team does. And I'm not going as far as saying they're going to take down the Celtics in this entire series. But yeah, I do believe that they feel comfortable. Like, this is, they're used to being in this situation.
Well, because the skeptic would say, okay, they made 23 threes, 3-point variance. There's no way they're going to shoot the ball that well three more times to win this series. So I think there is still a healthy dose of skepticism that the Heat can actually find a way to the finish line in this series without Jimmy Butler, because we know we're not going to see Jimmy Butler in this series.
Yeah,
but again,
not.
I'm sure just me even saying that would insult Spo and various members of the team and anyone else who hears it, because they are, I mean, you might not like hearing about Heat culture, you might not like seeing it on their court, but they are stubborn, and like you say, they believe it.
Mm-hmm. Stein, let me tell you this. After the game, me, Stan Van Gundy, Brian Anderson, we're getting chauffeured back to our hotel. And this is why we got to bring him on. He made a very astute point and something that I didn't even recognize throughout the course of the game. He said the Miami Heat put Tyler Hero on Jaylen Brown. And we all know Jaylen Brown loves to post up. He's an excellent post-up player for a guard. But by them making that switch, Boston started feeding Jaylen Brown in the post. Okay, he had some success, but there are some times he didn't. You know, forced up some shots. But that played into Miami's hands of getting Boston off of that three-point line to where Boston will see, oh, we have an advantage over there. Let's go over there. Let's go over there. Completely taking Boston out of what got them the 1-0 lead, which was the threat of the three-point ball. That's what Miami, he kept saying before the game. We got to eliminate three-point shooting. We got to close out. Eliminate three-point shooting. Close out. And so just like one little tactic like that where people, you might miss, even hardcore basketball fans, you might miss, but a little tactic like that kind of went away from what Boston did to get in, you know, get into put themselves in a position to go up 1-0. And I'll say this before we transition out. Before game one, the day before game two, I had dinner with the Stan Van Gundy, Jeff Van Gundy, Brian Anderson, and myself. Stein, hearing those two talk, and when I say talk, I probably mean argue. You know, because that's just how they communicate. they communicate by arguing, having differences of opinions, but then they come back, you know, pass that meat over there, Stan. Pass me that drink over there. You know, get right back to that. It's very hilarious just watching those two interact. You can tell they're really close. So that was a good time to have.
So they should have their own show?
Guys. I told them, get they should have their own podcast. They are very hilarious.
The world, according to the Van Gundys. And Jeff, of course, now working as a consultant to the Celtics, so he has a vested interest in this series. And yeah, that would, I'm guessing that would be a rather entertaining evening. You're on this series. You got both the games in Miami. You just did game two in Boston.
Yes, we got both
the
games in Miami.
It's a little unusual, isn't it, for you to have an extended run on the same first round series, isn't it?
Yes, it is. But TNT has those games. So I think the higher-ups, obviously I don't have a say on where I go, but I believe the higher-ups felt like, okay, since we have all these games, they actually have 2, 3, 4, and 5. So I guess they figured just keep the same crew on those games. Because usually you'll have TNT for game 3, ESPN or ABC for game 4 or 5. It just happens that TNT has 2 through 5, I should say. And so, yeah, they're keeping me on. And I don't know if they know that I would love to be in Miami. I don't know if they listen to this podcast, but there was no complaints at all once I got my schedule.
No, I have to think for you to be able to lock into one series has to be easier and give you a chance to really dig in, and these guys see you every day, makes the reporting better. So, well, you tell me, how was the Celtics' mood before we move on to the other 7 first-round matchups? How did the Celtics—I mean, again, with no Jimmy Butler, the Celtics were widely expected to just roll in this series, maybe win a game.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a gentleman's sweep in 5. But to be 1-1 going to Miami, I don't know how many people really expected that. So how shaken were the Celtics by this turn of events?
Yeah, it was a shake for sure. I would say I went to Celtics shoot around the morning of the game, and Jaylen Brown was the last player to leave. And I actually talked to him before I left that shoot-around session, but he was the last player to leave. He was working on his free throws. And it was this free throw drill that they had where they were trying to cause all type of confusion. And there was an assistant coach behind him, like throwing a basketball in his direction as he's shooting the free throw. They're making a lot of noise. So they're trying to simulate just a raucous environment. And I was wondering, because I've never seen that before. And I started asking people around, like, does he do this like this? They're like, no, this is not his routine. I'm like, huh. And I found out he missed like consecutive free throws in game one. But he ended up shooting pretty poorly from the free throw line in game two, you know, even after having that, let me see, free throws. He was 3 of 6 from the free throw line in game two. So, yeah, I guess they'll got to keep doing those drills. But I was in their timeout huddles a lot that night, and a lot of heads were down. A lot of heads were down. Al Horford was trying to keep those guys encouraged. I saw Horford on multiple occasions trying to, like, pep talk Kristaps Porzingis, who had a horrible shooting night. He shot, let me see, he scored 6 points. He was 1 of 9 from the field. And you know, there were a couple of times I believe Kristaps Porzingis forced some shots, and I went into the timeout huddle the very next break, and Horford was telling Porzingis, like, when you get the ball, fake the pass this way to get the defense to shift, then shoot your jump shot. And so they were trying to help him and motivate him and encourage him. You could tell they were rattled. They were shocked. You know, you don't expect Miami to come out and hit 23 threes and take. They made 23 out of 43. Golly. Shot 53% doing so. That was, they didn't expect that. So, yeah. Little bit shaken for sure.
Last night I was talking to one of my most trusted league observers, someone who I love to consult in situations like this. And the reaction that was shared with me was, you watch, this will end up being a great thing for Boston. They rolled during the regular season and this will snap them back into focus. They were probably feeling themselves too much. They probably didn't take Miami as seriously as they should have without Butler. But, man, I am struggling to co-sign on that one. To lose this early and give Miami even more belief than it already had. You know, again, I'm not trying to do too much of a victory lap, but I felt like I was somewhat in the minority to say that this thing could go at least 6, and I think now it will for sure go at least 6, given that Miami already got that split in Boston. But, I mean, man, I think the Celtics have been rocked here, and it's going to be really interesting to see how they respond.
Stein, about 2 weeks, should I even say this? Let me think, should I say it?
It's funny because whenever you say, should I say it, you usually go ahead and say it. I usually don't.
I can.
You usually.
Yeah. I think I can. So about 2 weeks ago, I got a text message from a random number. It said, this is JT, new number, lock me in. And, you know, during playoffs or whatever time it is, even like play-in, even in some of the last games of the season, like there is, it's such a frenzy. Like you're doing so much when you're covering this league. And so I didn't have time to investigate it, look into it or anything. And so during the broadcast yesterday, we are highlighting a player's shoes. His new colorways dropped yesterday on the day of the game. So we were going to highlight. So I got the shoes. And so we're highlighting.
Jason Tatum is who you're referring
during
to
the game.
Assuming.
Yeah, it ended up. So that's what I'm getting to. So so the Celtics come out into the to do their warm up to do their layup drills, you know, 15 minutes before the game. Tatum sees me on the sideline, comes over, gives me dap. He said, hey, you didn't respond back. I'm like, respond back to what? He said, I got a new number. I text you. I'm like, you text me what? Like, what are you talking about? He said, yeah, I text you, JT. I was like, man, I said, bro, you got to give me a little bit more information than that, man. Come on. You know what I mean? JTs, I know. Like, people don't refer to you as JT that much. I mean, golly, come on, man. Like, all you had to say, this is Jason, and spell your name that way, J-A-Y. Because you're the only person I know that spells the name J-A-Y-S-O-N. Yeah, so I say.
You would think after the whole ESPN commercial thing, he would know about confusion over his name. I amazingly did not get the same text. I did not get the, hey, here's my number, lock it in.
Hold on. What ESPN commercial? What you talking about?
You haven't seen that ESPN commercial when Jason Tatum is like there on, you know, it's one of those SportsCenter commercials and he's there getting his ID and has to give, you know, that he sits down to take his picture and the guy's asking for his name and he goes through all his nicknames and finally says Jason with a Y. You haven't seen that one?
Nuh-uh, I don't think so. Or else I forgot.
Or maybe you just don't watch ESPN anymore.
That's true, too.
Cold-blooded.
That's true. I watch games.
You're even more cold-blooded than me. I love it.
Yeah, I watch games.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
All right, well, we will continue, I suspect, to be talking more about Celtics Heat than we ever imagined, especially with Chris Haynes on the sidelines upcoming in his beloved South Beach for games 3 and 4 of that series. And you said you might even end up on 5?
Yes.
Back in Boston?
Yes, that's a TNT game as well. So I predict I'll be there for 5.
And you're with Stan the whole time?
Stan and B.A. with them the whole way through up until the Eastern Conference Finals. And then Stan for the Western Conference Finals, Stan will join Reggie and Kevin Harlan for the Western Conference Finals.
We need to get Stan on the podcast.
Just let me know when. Yeah, it's a done deal.
All right, so look, there are 7 other first-round series that we could be diving into. I have been covering Mavericks Clippers. I was at the 2 games in LA. I'm actually still in LA as we record this because before I fly back to Dallas for game 3 of Mavs Clippers, and that's Friday night, I'm going to at least drop in on Lakers Nuggets. I'm not going to be able to stay for the actual game, but I wanted to at least go to pregame later today after we finish this recording so I can see the Lakers, see the Nuggets a little bit, see some people before, again, getting back on a plane, getting back to Dallas, and resuming my coverage of Mavericks Clippers, which is another 1-1 series. We finally had some road teams win some games here with the Heat winning in Boston, with Indiana winning in Milwaukee, with Dallas winning here in LA against the Clippers in game two. But instead of, and again, we're also recording this on Thursday afternoon. So by the time this drops Thursday early evening, there won't be much time before some pretty huge game threes, Philadelphia and New York. That series moves to Philly now, but the Sixers are down 2-0 to the Knicks. Of course, game two, hugely contentious circumstances. We'll get into that here shortly. The Lakers playing host to the defending champions from Denver. The Nuggets have a 2-0 lead in that series. And now Cleveland and Orlando, that series moves to the Magic Kingdom. The Magic Kingdom also down 2-0. And of course, NBA historians, and I think fans are pretty well versed in this stat because it gets circulated so often. When you go down 2-0 in a best-of-seven series in the NBA, history tells us that nearly 93% of the time you go on to lose. There have only been 33 teams in nearly 500 best-of-seven series with a 2-0 deficit, only 33 that have managed to find their way back. It's really right around 450 in league history. So I think the way we're going to try to laser in here, instead of trying to deal with three of these other seven first-round matchups that we haven't talked about, three of them with games tonight shortly after we finish recording. So instead of doing a series-by-series breakdown, let's try this. I just did this on my Substack as well. Our old friend Royce Webb, who has a Substack of his own, he loves to curate these surveys where he talks to a bunch of different voices from all around NBA Substack. And he posed the question this week, so like I said, I just wrote my answers, but I'm going to give you the floor first. What team or player has impressed you most to this point of the playoffs, basically 5-6 days in?
I'm going to go with the Oklahoma City Thunder. I believe that going into the playoffs, I believe a team like the OKC Thunder, Minnesota Timberwolves, teams like that with little experience, I thought they could be rattled. I thought they can be taken advantage of. And I know it's still halfway through the series. Anything can happen. But the way they're winning games, the way that they're playing with so much confidence and swag, I am very impressed. Even though the New Orleans Pelicans are playing without Zion Williamson, I still thought New Orleans would put up a better fight. Yes, OKC has a great home court advantage. But, man, SGA, Jalen, Chet, like, they are playing together. They have so much energy. They're playing with so much confidence. They're playing with nothing to lose. You know, that's exactly the situation for them. They have nothing to lose, period. They're the number one seed, but they have nothing to lose. Their future looks bright. And so I'm very impressed with what they've been able to do thus far. And that looks like a series that can very well end up in a sweep. Don't know. Going back to New Orleans now, but they're playing some really good ball. I'm very impressed.
Well, let's be honest. I mean, I think the Thunder were rattled in the first game of that series. They were not convincing in crunch time and found a way to escape with a win. But we saw turnovers from Shai Gilgeous-Alexander that are uncharacteristic. I mean, they did not look super comfortable in their first taste of playoff basketball for this group. But then game two, they couldn't have been more impressive last night, just blowing New Orleans off the floor.
And that's why I said, I didn't expect them to come back like that after that game one. You know, CJ McCollum hits the three at the end of game one. It's a different story. So I expected, you know, okay, maybe that was a gut punch they took. Let's see how they bounce back or if they even do bounce back in game two. They definitely did bounce back.
And I'm going to keep it in the Northwest Division with my nomination because I'm going with Minnesota. And it's for a lot of the same reasons. I mean, the Wolves, it only got them the number third seed. They're in a matchup against a Phoenix team that swept them 3-0 during the regular season. Tough matchup. The Wolves are under massive pressure because, as we've talked about on this show a bazillion times, in the first 30-odd years of Wolves history, this team had only won a playoff series twice before, both in the spring of 2004. So 20 years without beating anybody in the playoffs. They're facing a hot Phoenix team, all this expectation, and they have been sensational. They've won the first two games by nearly 40 points combined. They've held Phoenix under 100 points both times. Ant Edwards was mortal offensively in game two, and it still didn't matter. And again, you don't want to overreact too much to a 2-0 lead, but again, history tells you that if you take a 2-0 lead in a best of seven, nearly 93% of the time, you're advancing. So it's difficult not to be absolutely wowed by what we're seeing from the Wolves, who have shown us, again, that they are the best defensive team in the league.
That was definitely a choice I could have made as well, but I had a feeling you would pick Minnesota, so
I'm glad you made the choice you made, because I was not expecting you to pick Oklahoma City. That's good. We don't want to have just the same answers, but this will be interesting to see if we can come up with a difference here, because I'm not sure that we can. What team or player has most disappointed you through the first 4 or 5 days?
The Phoenix Suns. Disappointment. Disappointment.
Huge.
And yes, yeah. This is a team that's built, or should I say, has aspiration. No, not aspiration. They're supposed to be a championship contending team, period. And we can talk about, you know, how the team is structured. You know, we can have complaints or have gripes with how they were modeled, but point blank, you got Bradley Beal, you got Kevin Durant, you got Devin Booker. That is a team that is expected to win a championship and contend for a championship. They're not playing anywhere close to that type of a level. And it's a disappointment. Disappointment on all fronts, period. Everybody has to take blame in this. From players to coaches to management to ownership, everybody has to take blame in what's going on. Have to take a part in the shortcomings. Again, don't want to overreact. You did point out to the stats of the teams that do jump out the 2-0 leads. Oftentimes, they're going to move on to the next round, but there's still a shot. The series goes back to Phoenix now, but this is a disappointment for sure. This team should not be, and is not expected to be, underperforming at this level.
Look, their season was all over the place. You know, I was constantly tracking how many games we would actually see Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, and Bradley Beal play together. It got so bad that I think at some point on our show, I said, the over-under will end up being 30. Okay, they ended up playing 41 games. So they went way past my over-under. My over-under was too low. But they only played together in 41 games. The Suns were 26-15 in those games. But remember, the Suns lost in San Antonio in late March, which just seemed like an unforgivable loss. The Spurs didn't even have Victor Wembanyama that night, if I'm remembering correctly. And then the last 10 games on the Suns' schedule were all against teams with winning records after that terrible loss in San Antonio. The Suns finished 7-3. More importantly, it was the best Beal has looked all season. And the Suns came into the playoffs with real momentum, and I think were a pretty popular pick to upset Minnesota in first round because of the inexperience that you mentioned. And now look where the Suns are, down 2-0. They haven't been competitive really in either game. Grayson Allen is banged up now, and he's been such a huge part of that team's success. This is a team that doesn't have depth. It doesn't have a great amount of size. And so an injury to Grayson Allen, if he's compromised in any way for the rest of this series, that's a huge problem. And there are going to be huge, huge, huge question marks about what this team does in the offseason.
Uh-oh.
Because
they're
in the second apron, and it's not easy to make changes. It's not easy for them to do anything to really change this roster. And so, man, they have gone all in on a team that, you know, they were 2-2 with Denver in the playoffs last year in the second round. Are they going to see the second round this year? How? How are they going to dig out of a 2-0 hole against the best defense in the league? Can they win 4 out of 5 from here against the Wolves? I don't see it.
Tall task.
I don't see it.
You're disappointed. Yeah, you're disappointed.
And the Suns were,
your disappointment.
Were clearly mine, but since you have nominated them, and I don't want to just repeat what you've said, and I think I've pretty much made my Suns stance pretty clear here. Just, I'm still just bummed. There's just so many injuries. Giannis Antetokounmpo, are we going to see him in this first round series against Indiana? Knowing Giannis, I'm sure he's going to do everything he can to try to find a way. A calf strain is such a tricky injury. It's such a potentially dangerous injury in terms of re-aggravation and what it could lead to. Rushing back just does not seem like a wise idea. So I think it remains fair to question, are we going to see Giannis Antetokounmpo in this round? We know we're not going to see Zion Williamson in this series. We know we are most likely not going to see Jimmy Butler in this series. Joel Embiid is playing, but is clearly compromised. I was there in LA for Kawhi Leonard's comeback game, and I really thought the Clippers were going to wait until Friday's Game 3 to give Kawhi some extra time because Game 1 and Game 2 were in such a short span. But Kawhi is back, has the rust to work through. And like I said, this is just a disappointment for so many big names to either be out or less than full strength. And you could throw Karl Anthony Towns into this discussion as well, because Towns missed only a month after a meniscus injury and is back very, very quickly. So it's always a downer to see so many injury situations impacting the playoffs.
Yeah, and B's not looking good. I covered that Game 2, Knicks, Sixers. And let's get into that, Stein. I know you have some news on what happened in the aftermath, but you know, I was working that game. And Embiid is just not right, man. He's hobbling. He's pulling up. I feel bad for him. I really feel bad for him. The seat that I had at Madison Square Garden is a seat that's right behind the Sixers bench. And at one point when Embiid got pulled out and he sat at his seat at the end of the bench, you know, probably about 8 feet away from me, the physical therapist is massaging his knee, stretching it out, and at one point, Embiid put a towel over his head. I don't know if he did that to cover up a painful expression he might be making, or he was just tired, but it's not a good look, man. You can tell he's just trying to be out there for his team and give them everything that he has, but he is nowhere near himself. And I'm hoping that he doesn't get out there and further damages anything, because he's trying to fight it out. But, Stein, you had some news on what the Sixers, the beef that the Sixers had with how the ending came about and what happened in the ending of Game 2. So I'll let you have the floor.
Yeah, I did a story today earlier on Thursday that, you know, the Sixers were on the wrong end of more than one bad call in their Game 2 loss and late collapse in New York against the Knicks. I mean, multiple mistakes were cited in the last 2-minute report, but there was a lot of reporting after that game that a grievance was going to be filed by the Sixers in this situation. And my story today basically explains there is no such thing as a general grievance about officiating. A team can call the league office and register complaints that way. And I'm told that the Sixers certainly did that. But the word grievance was widely reported, and that suggests that you can officially file some grievance document. There's no such thing as a general grievance that can be filed over officiating. Teams have the right to file a formal protest, and the Sixers, to be fair, never said they were going to file a protest over game two, but that was the only official measure that the Sixers could have taken, and they did not do that. And again, they never said they were going to file a game two protest. But in terms of filing a grievance, I just wrote this story to stress and explain that there is no such thing. Teams call the league office all the time. They send video clips into the league office all the time. But there's no grievance language in the league's bylaws and constitution that allows a team to file a quote grievance. And the reason you see so few protests, look, there have only been six successful protests in league history. And this season, the Knicks actually filed one after a loss in Houston. And that protest was denied because what the league always says in the protest situation is they're not going to overturn human error mistakes. The last protest to succeed in the NBA was way back in 2007, 2008, when your TNT teammate Shaquille O'Neal, playing for the Heat at the time, was fouled out of a game against Atlanta. Scorer's table said he has six fouls. He actually only had five fouls. So that was a real misapplication of the rules, and that's why the last 40-odd seconds of that game had to be replayed, because that wasn't a judgment call. That was a scorebook error, and that's why that protest was upheld. But I'm sure you remember in January, Portland, Chauncey Billups went ballistic, calling timeout. Timeout not granted. He ends up getting two techs. The Blazers lose a close game. The Blazers actually came out and said, we're going to protest this game. And then there's a 48-hour window to file a protest. The Blazers decided against it in that instance because I think they know you never win these protests. The Knicks did go ahead and register a protest from that February game in Houston, but the protest was not successful. And again, I just wanted to do this story today to clarify. There was all this talk that a grievance would be forthcoming, and there's no such thing as a written grievance in the NBA bylaws. So that was really the story.
Well, good. So now people can move on and get ready for game three, because they spent so much time, and I understood the Sixers' point of view, but they spent a lot of time faulting the officials, which they had a right to, but they made costly mistakes. I'm telling you, throughout that, you know, let's talk about Kyle Lowry. And they said Nick Nurse, they acknowledged in that 2-minute report that Nick Nurse is trying to get it to call a timeout. But, you know, Kyle Lowry is right there. He's a veteran. You know, he's supposed to have a 5-second clock in his head on, okay, if I can't get a clean pass in, well, I got to call a timeout. He did it. And so he put the team at risk. And then just even that play, okay, even with, still want to talk about that play. The Sixers had multiple guys crashing offensive rebound, diving on the floor for loose balls. But they've been doing that in those two games thus far. The Sixers are more talented, but the Knicks have dogs who are going to crash boards. Josh Hart, Dante, Isaiah Hartenstein. Is it Hartenstein or Hartenstein, Stein? Which one is it?
You know what? That's a great question, because I've heard
people say different. Yeah, people.
I've heard multiple, it 17 different ways myself. I've been wanting to ask him for his preferred pronunciation, because that will make it official. Hartenstein. I mean,
yeah, this one. But he's a dog, and right now he smells blood, and the blood he's smelling is coming from Joel Embiid, because he understands that he's not fully himself. So I'm just gonna say Isaiah. I don't want to disrespect him by saying the wrong last name.
Offensive rebounder supreme.
The offensive rebounder supreme. He is crashing, which is putting a lot of pressure on Joel Embiid to box out, which Joel didn't box out in those last seconds. Got the offensive rebound, got it back to Dante for a second three, and that three went in. But all throughout that series thus far, the Knicks have had guys that are just willing to do the dirty work. And so Philly is going to have to identify some guys who are willing to do that, who are going to have to get down and dirty in order to make this a series.
Well, look, multiple things can be true. I mean, there is no question that Philly was robbed on multiple calls late. Maxey had his jersey grabbed. There was a foul that landed him on the ground. Nick Nurse didn't get the timeout, but I think what you said is true, too. The Sixers also participated in their own demise. There was a Kyle Lowry missed free throw in there. And there's a couple things at work here. With all this talk about grievances and whether there's an official filing or not, look, on one hand, it comes off as excuse-making, and I don't know that it's healthy for a team. But on the other hand, my sense is when it becomes so widely reported that a team is going to complain to the league about the officiating in the first two games, then it stays in the headlines, it becomes a story, and maybe it puts pressure on the Game 3, Game 4 referees. They know they're going to be watched super, super closely. So I can see why the Sixers would also want that story to be known, for their dismay to get more coverage. But we'll see what effect it has now, because, again, shortly after this podcast drops, three huge game threes in the NBA tonight. Before we go, Philly down 2-0 to the Knicks, Lakers down 2-0 to the Nuggets, Magic down 2-0 to the Cavs. Do you think any of those three teams can win their series? Can they get out of a 2-0 hole?
Man, you said win the series. Wow.
I would probably give Philly the best chance.
Yeah, probably. Well, if Joel is like how he is right now, I can't see it. If this is how he's going to be all season with that knee, I don't see it. But, yeah, it's going to be tough. Yeah, that's a good call. I don't know who out of those other 2-0 series leads.
Lakers, can the Lakers dig out of a 2-0 hole against the Nuggets, against the defending champs? Can they beat Nikola Jokic and co. four times out of five? That is a hard one to imagine as well.
Yeah, that's why they play the games. Looking forward to it.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
All right. Well, I'm glad we finally connected. It has been a circus of a week. Not often that we're both on the road. I will not be traveling as much for the rest of the playoffs as you. So hopefully this was just a week one situation for the both of us. But I think something else happened in New York that you wanted to share with us.
Yes, I did, Stein. This is a personal, monumental feat in the history of me. This was something that I've always wanted to encounter, never had the chance to since I've been covering the NBA. My favorite player growing up, favorite player of all time growing up was Latrell Sprewell when he was playing for the Golden State Warriors. And he was the reason why growing up, I really didn't have a favorite team. Baseball, I liked the Atlanta Braves. That was it. But as far as that, like the NBA and NFL, I like players, and so I'm probably the start of the generation of fans who follow players wherever they go, because that's what I did with Latrell Sprewell. But anyways, growing up in Fresno, California, we got all the Warrior games televised, and this was when Michael Jordan had retired for the first time. I liked Michael Jordan like everybody else, but I can't say I was in love with him, but I liked him like everybody else. Then he retired. I was looking for, who's this next ball head, shooting guard type player that I can follow? And Warriors game was on. I saw Latrell Sprewell, who was probably in his second year at the time. He was doing these tomahawk dunks, reminded me of Jordan a little bit. He was young. I'm like, I'm going to follow him. And so I started wearing 15. I started wearing 15 like Sprewell. When I was able to dunk my sophomore year in high school, I started doing a tomahawk two-hand dunk like Spree. And I remember in junior high is when I first started following Sprewell. So it was seventh grade. And that was around the time where the NBA jersey started being popular. And at that time, Champion used to make the jerseys. And they were around $44 at that time. And I couldn't afford one. My parents wouldn't give me a jersey. And I remember me finding a surfing tank top around the house. It was like a surfboard on the picture on the front of this tank, white tank top, but it was empty on the back. And I wrote Sprewell on the back and put 15, and I wore that thing to school. And I got talked about like crazy, but I wore it to, like, I was just determined to have Sprewell on the back of my jersey. So I've always wanted to meet Sprewell. Yeah, I followed him when he went to the Knicks, when the Timberwolves. I rooted for him. Never met Sprewell before. I've been covering the league for, 13 years now? Run into him at our hotel that we're staying at. We're staying at the Renaissance Hotel, which is across the street from Madison Square Garden. He actually walks out the hotel. So I had a chance to just talk to him for briefly because he was on the go. And I told him, hey, man, Spree, I've been a fan of you. Spree for three. Spree for three. That was the call. The broadcast call whenever he would shoot a three back when he was playing for the Warriors. Spree for three. And I just told him a little bit how I felt, man. And he took a picture. I sent you and our producer, Tim, the picture. And I was going to post about it. And I posted about it today. I put it on Instagram if anybody wants to see it on my Instagram. But I also put on Instagram, like, the moment I had with Spree after that Knicks game. Ended up having a drink with Spree, gave me a drink. You guys know I don't drink, but I felt forced to take a drink with Spree. Chest was burning like crazy. Took a little drink. He was like, oh, okay, I can see you don't drink. That's okay, Chris. You ain't got to take no more. But he said this to me, Stein. He said, listen, he said, I've been watching you afar for years, and I'm a fan of what you do. He said, so for you to tell me I was your favorite player growing up, he said, man, that touched me. And he said, I never knew we had that connection. He said, so thank you for telling me, man. That made my day. And Stein, to this day, the house that I grew up in, my parents still live at that house. In my room, I got, as I sent you pictures, sent you and producer Tim pictures. That is how my room is right now. Still dirty, but you have three Sprewell posters. They're really not posters. They're pages I took out of a magazine of a feature that I forgot what magazine it was, a feature that was done on Sprewell. But that's the way it looks in my room right now with those Sprewell posters. So, and I showed you guys a high school photo of me wearing 15 as well. So, you know, that was a real special moment for me to be able to meet him. And, you know, a lot of times people have bad experiences when they meet their
favorite player. That's what they say. Don't meet your heroes.
But
you had a good one.
Great one. And lastly, Stein, I want to say this. I was 12 years old when I put these posters up on my wall that you see. Stein, go to the picture I showed you. Just go to the picture of the posters. The one poster I want you to pay attention to is the one where he's wearing the Blue Warriors jersey. Go to that real quick if you can.
Okay, I think I found it.
Remind everybody, I put these posters up when I was 12 years old. This poster has been in my room ever since. I'm 42 years old now. You see that photo, Stein?
NBA on TNT in the corner?
NBA on TNT on the corner of that poster. NBA on TNT is on the corner of this Latrell Sprewell poster. The NBA on TNT. I would never in my wildest dreams ever would have thought that I would be working for TNT as an NBA sideline reporter. I'm at 12, I'm getting straight Fs at this point. So I'm just mad. That's to me, I don't mean to get religious on people, but, you know, I believe that was God, man, that was that had this in my room the whole time and had plans for me, and I didn't even know it. So
you know I'm hopeless on Instagram. So did you post all the pictures? You posted the stuff from your room?
I post all those pictures. I post up the pictures, all the posters, and a picture of me wearing 15 in high school, a picture with me and Spree. Yeah, I post it all, man. Just came back full circle. So I had a pretty – that was a great trip in New York, man, to get the meet Spree.
All right. On that very warm note, we are going to put a bow on this edition of This League Uncut. As always, everyone, please remember to follow us, rate the show, review the show. We would love to earn a 5-star review. And who can resist that heartwarming tale that Chris Haynes just shared about meeting the favorite player of his youth, Latrell Sprewell, Knicks legend? All right, Chris and I will get together again very, very soon for another episode as we both continue to cover these playoffs. As mentioned, I'm headed back to Dallas to pick up Mavs Clippers game 3. And Chris, he's got games 3 and 4 in Miami and game 5 in Boston. The next 3 of Celtics Heat after doing game 2 in Boston, the Heat's stunning victory. So stay tuned. We will be back together with you very, very soon. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
And that'll do it for us. See you next time. This League Uncut is an iHeartRadio production. Boom shakalaka! Chris Haynes and Mark Stein!
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.